This is Dr. Yo. Welcome to Respecting the Future. Your host is Levin Chuck Wilson, better known as Chuck. He's committed his body of work to serving individuals, families, and communities. As a social worker, he's taken the oath to be a change agent. This is the episode in the series of Planning to Succeed. It's all about defining your strategic plan and how to move from one position to another, moving the needles and mountains in your life. So let's talk to Chuck.
Maybe you think that the message has changed. Then won't you lend me your ear, your ear? Maybe you think that the news is new and history can't live again. Then you ought to hear this.
Chuck, I hear you speak so favorably about your mother. You always say, shout out to Dr. Brenda Rowdy. So we know that Mother's Day is coming up this Sunday. What do you have planned for her?
Well, first of all, I'm so glad that we're celebrating Mother's Day. This is a big day for me. Mother's Day is like Christmas. I have the best mother in the world.
We hear that all the time.
I know. Well, hey, I'm a great guy. I had, okay. you know the saying, the fruit doesn't fall too far from the tree.
Okay.
Right, so
I got you.
My mom was my mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to focus on this podcast on talking about not just my mom, but the attributes of my mother and recognizing mothers around the world who are born to provide life, give life, to nurture, to grow your own. And so, you know, this is a very important weekend. I think the travel industry said this is the most traveled week of the year, more than Christmas, more than Father's Day, more than Easter and other holidays. So it's important that we give homage to mothers everywhere.
So what does the chocolate industry say? What does the flower industry say? The plant industry, I mean, there's so many things. It is a beautiful day. It really is. But it really should be every day.
It really should be every day. You know, my mom sent me a text today because we're trying to work out my travel to get back to North Carolina to visit her. So having some complications there. And she sent me a text message saying, Chuck, you treat me like Mother's Day is here every day.
Wow.
So riding down the street, leaving a meeting. And so, you know, I'm a big boy, you know, everybody knows I'm a big old boy. And tears started to well up in my eyes because that's when your mother says something like that to you, no matter what has happened that day, no matter what's going on in your life, for your mother to be proud of you,
right,
the good, bad, and the indifference is important. And my mother makes me feel like I'm a king. She makes me feel like, hey, that's my son, and I'm proud of that.
Now, if we go all the way back to, let's say, when you were 8 years old, a teenager, or even a young man, would you still say the same thing?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. My mom made me think that I was the man of the house.
Okay.
Because I was big like a man, and my mom was tough. I thought my mama was crazy, actually, because she was like, matter of fact, I was kind of like an introvert as a kid. And I'll never forget one summer. My mom paid some boys from church to kind of rough me up because I was so big that I didn't want to play with everybody because I thought I was going to hurt them.
Uh-huh.
And so she got some other kids that were older than me and bigger than me to rough me up to see if I would fight back. And of course I did. And that really changed the game for me because my mom is a fighter. She's a 4'11 woman. Former Black Panther and all that type of stuff. So she's a true fighter, and she wanted to make sure that her DNA, she needed to see the evidence. Will my son fight for what's right? Is he my son?
Right.
You know, we have a little joke going on in my family. She often says that when I was born, I had a mustache. And when they brought me to her, she said to the doctors, that's not my child. He looks like he's already 6 months old. and I'm a hairy boy. And so, but she wanted, and I'm just joking about that. That is a true story though. But she wanted to make sure that I had some fight in me.
Right.
I'm not talking about physical fight. But I'm talking about fighting for what's right, advocating for what's right. So your question to me was, would she say the same thing when I was 8 years old? Would I say the same thing when I was 8 years old right. or a teenager? Absolutely. I would cut grass so that my mom, if I could make sure that my mom had some help in the house. You know, it was very important to me. I'll never forget. I'll tell you the story. I'll never forget. I came home from school one day. Somewhere, I don't know where I was coming from, but I can hear my mom praying. But I can also hear the nervousness in her voice, like she was crying, because some bills were due. And so she had more month than money. And at that point, I think I was maybe in the third grade or something. We lived on a place called Cherry Street in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, in front of Jackie's Florist. And I'll never forget, I walked out of the front door, walked around to the back where Jackie's Florist was, and I asked the owner, could I sweep the floor? Can mm-hmm. I take the trash out? Because I wanted to make some money. I wanted to do something to help my mom. I didn't want my mom to cry out to God because she needed some help to pay a bill. I wanted to help my mom, mm-hmm. not knowing that you can't trump God.
Right.
But I wanted to do something. I wanted her to be proud of me because she felt, I can imagine her feeling alone. I can imagine like a lot of single mothers out there who are raising children. And they have, again, they have more month than money, and the children don't appreciate them. The children expect that, you know, hey, they have to have the Nikes, they have to have the car, they have to have the Michael Kors, the Louis Vuitton, and all these other things that young people and people look at as success or helps them with their image. But the biggest thing that my mother was able to give me, money couldn't buy, and that was integrity, hard work, being able to, having that fight. I guess having fight inside of me is the biggest thing that I can say she gave me, and I'm proud of that.
Well, you know, a lot of times they talk about a single mom raising a son, how difficult it is, and the fact that she's not able to provide him, you know, just what you're talking about, those character building skills, et cetera. But it sounds like Dr. Brenda Rowdy was on her A game.
Yeah, well, Brenda Rowdy was, and her name is just like how she is. She's a rowdy woman.
Rowdy.
Okay. Yeah, she didn't take any stuff.
No.
But, you know, she made some moves that was very strategic in our development, for me and my sister. Instead of my mom buying things, she made sure that we got piano lessons and bass guitar lessons. I sung on a professional choir even as a kid. We had professional voice lessons. We would go to the zoo. My mom worked. She worked several jobs. And one of her jobs was worked at Piedmont Airlines as a reservationist. So we got to fly free. So it was nothing for us to go to Washington, D.C., to go to the zoo and get back on a plane and come home, or go to various places to have lunch or dinner and come back home. And so she exposed us to a lot. So she sacrificed her own stuff so that she can expose us to life. And I think that's where my big thinking comes from, mm-hmm. because as a child, my mom did not let circumstances get the best of her. Mm-hmm. She looked at her children and said, you know what, I may not have the things, but I have the vision. And so her vision actually moved us forward and moved the needle of our lives. And I think now is the time, and not just now, but for the last 20 years or so of my life, my job, I feel, is to move the needle in the mountains of my life. I love it.
Well, a lot of parents, single moms, they really go above and beyond to make sure their child, whether it's a daughter or a son, to have what they don't have. And I think sometimes that becomes a detriment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So being a mom, it's a daily work. It's a daily challenge. And what I've noticed is, even though my daughter is 23 or about to turn 23, sometimes I look back in situations and I think to myself, wow, I could have done a better job. And it kind of makes you feel sad, or I shouldn't have said that, or how should I have dealt with that, or I should have allowed her to do a lot more on her own, as opposed to not necessarily baby her, but just cater to her, making sure that her focus was more on school than anything else.
Well, I think the word you just used, cater, I don't know if that, for me, I think it's more about educating and learning. Everyone can do a better job. Everyone. That's what life is all about. You can't say that you're the expert at anything. You can't get caught in the expert trap. I don't think any mother or any father can say, I'm the expert parent. That can't be said. Because if that was the case, you know, you would be, you know, a multi-trillionaire because you would have all the answers. We as people are designed to learn and grow and share. That's the purpose of life. That's the purpose of life. Just think about, you know, a few weeks ago we celebrated Easter.
Right.
And the resurrection is basically represents new life. It represents pain, it represents suffering, but it also represents a new life. And it means to give, it means to share, it means to love, it means to promote, it means to advocate. You know, it's something all the time, but at the end of the day, when it's surrounded with love and joy and peace and all those things, all those positive attributes that mothers desire to have, although not perfect, it moves the family, it grows the family, it grows that son, it grows me. You know, I don't have kids, but I get a chance to mentor. I get a chance to go around, literally around the world and talk to people that I don't know. And they really think, oh, he has something to say. But really, I'm just using a lot of things that my mom taught me. I'm using a lot of things that my mom exposed me to. I had a lot of good men in the church when I grew up. A lot of good people in the community, Black, white, Asian, LGBTQ. My mom made sure we had a diverse a community of people around us, and she told us not to fear. Have faith, but don't fear.
Right. Well, you were talking about love as a mom. That's what you want to experience. And I think for me, I wanted to make sure that the lack of love, the lack of compassion, the lack of opportunities, that lack of really belonging, that I overcompensated. And I think at times that's what I try to do. And sometimes to a detriment, you know, because, for example, real quick, the story is my daughter went to FSU for a music engagement, and some families took her out, and the mother went inside and said, okay, go ahead and pump the gas. She had no idea what to do because I've never had her to do that. And then when she came home and told me about it, I was like, wow, that's not good. You know, that's not good because I'm not really teaching her that aspect of growing up. And or even, you know, a lot of times people would say, well, why is she sitting in the back seat as opposed to up front? And as a single mom, sometimes you don't realize, you know, what you're doing because it's just that, it's just you. You're the mother, you're the father. And as you said, you're trying to do the best that you can based off of the reference of how you grew up, you know, and you're just trying your best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we are the sum total of our experiences, Dr. Yeo. And I know that, you know, I talk about my mom, but you have a mom, too.
Right.
You have two moms.
Actually, I have three moms.
You have three moms.
I have three moms.
Why don't you share some of your story with us?
Well, let me talk about my foster mom, Jeanette. She's actually all the way in Australia. And I remember this woman really had a presence when she walked into the room. She was Portuguese and Indian. And she just had this flowing dark hair and just the presence about her. You know, as I was growing up in the foster home, I just looked at her and I was like, wow, she's admired the way she spoke, the way she held herself and all of that. I wanted to emulate that, you know. So that was, you know, my experience being in a foster home and looking up to, you know, what you can be. And she owned a business. She was an entrepreneur. And she really just put her mind, whatever she put her mind to, she excelled. And I really take a lot of that into what I do today. As far as if you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to show you I can do it and even better, you know. So my mom, though, what is so awesome about my real mom, I guess it's, you know, a lot of people talk about your real mom, your foster mom, or your adopted mom, or your stepmom. But my real mom, I can share with you that it wasn't until maybe even 2 years ago that we became close, because I never grew up with her. And it was such an estranged relationship. And as an individual growing up and not having that foundation, it was difficult. It was very difficult, you know, wanting to belong. But what is so passionate and awesome now is to be able to call her up, hey, mom, you know, and just hearing her, hey, daughter, you know, how are you doing? And having that enthusiasm. Everything else in, you know, that happened in the past, all the sadness, it goes away because she's up there in age. And she did the best that she could. And if Christ can forgive us, then obviously I can then forgive whatever I felt that I didn't get. One time I called her for her birthday, and you don't like my singing, but she loved my singing.
It's your mama.
She loved, no. She was like, oh, thank you. Who's that? And I'm like, it's Yvonne, your daughter, you know? And she was like, wow, that was perfect. So after that, I was like, okay, I'm a singer. Yes, it's my mom. But just having, you know, that connection, even though it's just 2 years of it, it's passionate. It's uh-huh, good. Uh-huh. It's what I like. My stepmom, you know, we call her the matriarch of the family, and we have a good relationship as far as she knew me, you know, from a certain age, and we've even gotten better as far as our relationship, our bonding and everything like that. So, yeah, I do have three moms, and I'm so lucky for that, you know. You know, I always ask about what is love? Love is, you know, having these individuals around you and being able to pull from each person and just doing better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for that story, Dr. Yeo, because so many of our listening audience may have different situations.
Yeah.
Nobody's story may be like mine, and others may not be like yours.
Right.
They may have their own stories, but I think you said something really, really important. Love and forgive whatever has happened. You know, life is short. Tomorrow you may not ever see your mother again. So don't allow certain things to live and fester and grow and kill you and kill the joy and the things that you can have in the future. Stop that stuff. Move forward and say, you know what? I'm gonna have a relationship with my mother, regardless of if you can. Now there are some situations that you can't, but if you can, if there's a way to resurrect the relationship, to re-engage and be involved with your mother, I think it's very important.
And it really starts from the individual. For me, it was like, wait a minute, I'm bigger than this. You know, I'm not perfect. And, you know, I don't want, as you said, another day, another week, another year to go by, and then I regret not saying something. And just hearing the joy in her voice, hearing from me. And I didn't have to say, hey, you did this and this and this. People know.
Mm-hmm,
they
mm-hmm.
know.
Well, you know,
they
know. In my book, The Truth About the Facts, I talk about being free.
Right.
You may not have money, but you can be free. You may not have the house that you want to live in, but you can be free. You may not be driving the BMW or the Benz or whatever that you want to drive. You might not even have a car. You might not even have a bus pass.
Right.
But you can be free. And it starts with telling the truth. And truth will set you free. If there's situations going on, listening audience, if there's situations going on in your family, between you and your mom, get it straight.
Get it straight.
Get it straight.
You may not have tomorrow.
You may not have tomorrow. And guess what? It's something about forgiveness, and it's something healing about just loving a person. It's something healing about saying, you know what, let's move forward with this. It heals your body, it heals your mind, it heals your spirit. It might even heal your economy. You never know.
Right. So tell us then about what one thing about your mom that you can share with us.
One thing about my mom that I can share with you.
Yeah.
My mother is a great cook. She's a great cook, but baking pies was never her thing.
Really?
Never her thing. But that's just one. I'm going to tell you two things.
Okay.
My mother, because I know we're wrapping up, my mother is a role model for me.
Okay.
My mother, she's someone that I can call on right now and give me good advice, good sound advice, and not sugarcoated just because I'm her son. My mother is fair. You hear me say mama? You hear me say that? Mm-hmm. My mama. My mother is a fair person. She's not going to take sides. If you're wrong, you're wrong. If you're right, you're right. And I appreciate that about my mom, for her being who she is in every situation all of my life. I love you, Dr. Brenda Rowdy.
So, Chuck, you've shared with us so many different attributes that we can talk about our moms, whether it's a foster mom, whether it's a stepmom, or our natural mom, as we say. And I love some of these attributes that you talk about. Role model. You talked about providing, you know, your mom providing sound advice. You talked about love. You talked about forgiveness. And all of this is wrapped up in what a mom is all about. It's not perfect. It's not perfect by any means. But think about what was, you know, what our Creator created in a mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to continue this conversation. And I know some of our listening audience have chimed in and texted us and also emailed us about their mom. So until then, stay tuned as we talk about mom. Glad you joined in on our conversation. For more Let's Talk to Chuck episodes, sign up and follow us on Podomatic, iTunes, and Player FM. You can also reach out to Chuck via email at leventu, that's L-E-V-E-N, the number 2, at me.com. We hope that this episode will help you to make the choice decisions that respects your future. Remember to tune in to our next conversation with Chuck. We want to say thank you to our engineer, Sam Walton. Until then, it's all about moving the needles and mountains in your life.
Maybe you think that the message has changed. Then won't you lend me your ear, your ear? Maybe you think that the news is new and history can live again. Then you ought to hear this.